What the EFL? It's the Football League podcast that is perpetually being mugged off.com. Coming up, a busy midweek, an exciting weekend, and an oft tedious transfer market. Powered by Quinbet, this is What the EFL. Yeah, it's a little old now, that Neil Harris reference, but it did so much traction. I thought we ought to give it a mention, good as it was too. Lots to go out for us today as we talk through the wonderful world of the Football League. It's me, Matt Davis-Adams. I am joined by Adrian Clarke. Adrian Clarke.
Yeah, good. Busy old week, but yeah, loving it.
Yeah, these two have been all over the EFL this week. Sam Parkin's back with us as well. Yeah, okay, Sam?
Yeah, very good. That was very 2010 of Neil Harris, wasn't it? I mean, I'm not going to deny that I enjoyed it, but it come from absolutely nowhere where it come from 2010.
Yeah, well, that was his pomp, wasn't it? So, you know, taking it back.
Lastminute.com is the one that I would associate with that kind of dot-comming, yeah. But there we go. I enjoyed it anyway. Something good happened to somebody who used to be associated with Millwall. We're going to talk about Millwall shortly. But first, let me remind you that our partners, Quinbet, have an offer where you can get 50% back up to £25. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your first day's betting, Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet up to £25, minimum three bets. Even if your account's up, you're guaranteed a £5 free bet, provided you place at least one bet of £10 or greater at the minimum odds. T's and C's apply. It's 18+, and for new UK customers only. Visit gamblerware.org for information on responsible gambling. Okay, we're going to start then with a look back at some of the midweek action. And Sam was on hand to see Wrexham pick up their first league win of the season in emphatic style down at the Den. 3-0, they won against Millwall. Good for them, Sam. And obviously, we're going to give them some credit for the victory. But the real story here is Millwall's walking wounded, I suppose.
Yeah, incredible scenes, I would suggest, at the Den last night. I absolutely was part of dressing rooms that had injury crisis. And I was obviously partial to missing a few games myself. But I mean, this is unprecedented at Millwall. So much so. And I thought it was probably partly because they were facing Wrexham last night that they decided to match them up and obviously go with the two very physical centre-forwards in Lyndon Dykes and Josh Coburn from the off. But it was basically, as Alex Neil said afterwards, and I did get word pre-match, don't have any wingers. Didn't have any wingers, and they've obviously started the season in a kind of a 4-4-2 with Negley supporting Coburn and these two electric wide players. Sorry, Arcont supporting Coburn and Lisby and Negley off the sides. And that's just ripped up because of really bad luck for Alex Neil at this early stage of the season. So the bench was full of kids. The first half was a non-event. It was a bit of a throwback because Millwall had to lump it a little bit towards those two physical boys who, you know, on paper were going to be a real handful for Wrexham if they got the quality in from wide and what have you, especially the way Coburn has started the season. And they get a fortuitous opening goal, a good run down the right from Kabore. Sturge deflects across into his own net. But the massive turning point, and I said it at the time during the commentary, is Denore goes down, start of the second half. Kiefer Moore scores quite quickly after that. And it was like a testimonial, honestly, because not only did they lose Coburn, the brilliantly named Lovelace came on for Millwall and proceeded to get injured. And he was able to come back on kind of as one of those passengers. I don't think he actually touched the ball, but he was out there in body, if not in mind, just to fulfill the 11 players. And then Wrexham just popped the ball around. It was, you had to keep reminding yourself it was 11v11, but it was just basically an example of the depths that Millwall are in now. And I kind of thought towards the tail end, would every Championship team have done this to Millwall? And I came away thinking, probably not. I think it does encapsulate Wrexham's quality and shows that they've got really good players now. And they should be under pressure, because when you look at the bench last night, and there was a huge contrast because of Millwall's injuries, but Kadamatari, Worrell, O'Hare, Rathbone, I don't even need to go on, Sam Smith, these are all lads that would get in upper half Championship teams and better. So he's got an unbelievable squad at his disposal, Phil Parkinson. The stars aligned for him last night. They took advantage of it. They thoroughly deserved their win, bounced back from the Birmingham defeat, and now transfer windows close, which I think is a distraction at a club like Wrexham, because for the lads as well, because there's going to be a load of boys that weren't in the squad last night, and they probably didn't know whether they were going to be there beyond the window closing. Now they can actually say, do you know what? I'm here. I can fight for my place. I might not get regular minutes, but at least they know where they stand. And Phil Parkinson can get on with the job of keeping everyone happy. But yeah, a great away win for them, but desperate times at the Den.
Mm, yeah, Phil Parkinson echoing your thoughts, Sam, about the transfer window. They go to Swansea on Saturday night. Millwall didn't manage a shot on target in the game on Wednesday, and I guess we know why. Also on Wednesday, QPR 2-1 winners against Cardiff. West Brom and Charlton and Burnley and Borough shared the points. Back on Tuesday, rarer than hen's teeth chomping on four-legged clovers, Derby County wins. Adrian must feel privileged then. You witnessed one at Fratton Park, and goodness me, they needed that.
They needed it big style. I think John Eustace needed it as well. And look, it was the travelling supporters were pretty euphoric at the end, probably more out of relief than anything. They do have a great record against Portsmouth. They're absolutely their bogey team. I think that's 13 now unbeaten. Eustace has never lost to Pompey. But yeah, the game itself, got to be honest, was low quality. It was they didn't look like two teams that were going to get towards the promotion picture. Obviously, that could change for Derby, but the standard was fairly low. I'll start with Pompey. Dreadful, really. They had 21 shots, so you'll look at the stats and think, oh, they gave it a right old go there. But out of those 21 shots, there were no big chances. Most of them were sort of powder puff efforts. Never really looked like scoring. I think the two that sort of come out with a little bit of credit are Segacic, who's always wants the ball, always wants to try and do something. And the youngster, Kavuna McQueen, who's only 17 on loan from Chelsea, his trickery really caught the eye in the first half. But then once he beat his man, which he did quite often in Langas, it was a bit of a weak shot. He didn't look like a boy playing in men's football. So, but there's a bit more to come from him. They did drop Colby Bishop, who's been really toiling, and they brought in Moretzi. He does have a longer name. I'll stick with Moretzi, which is what we had in commentary. And I'll tell you what, he looked like a centre forward. He looked like he'd hold the ball up. He popped it off quite nicely. He was strong. If he had a chance to shoot, he'd have a pop. So he looked all right. But he had no pace. And I think that could be a problem for them moving forwards. The goalie, Schmidt got dropped for Bielitsa, and he made a mistake for the opening goal, letting it squirm under his body. That was a bit embarrassing. As for Derby, solid, really impressed with the back line. Sanderson did ever so well, Forsyth as well, although they gave some fouls away. It was really all about twin false nines. They didn't have a target man because most of them were injured, and they just bought a guy and they didn't obviously want to use him, Meister. So they just went with two sort of little ones up front, Smodix and Bobby Clark. And every time they broke, those two combined really nicely and took them up the pitch, and combined as well quite nicely with Ryan Hedges at times. And they got their goals, you know. So, yeah, Sub Salverson scored a really good goal as well. So it was a good away performance, solid, took their chances, but I wouldn't get carried away about Derby. Again, I'm looking at the team and thinking, where's the pace? Where's the width, really? There's not a lot of width there either. So a lot of work, I think, for Eustace to do to get Derby challenging for the playoffs. But for Pompey, they look like a team in a relegation battle.
Yeah, they've lost three of their four so far, including both at Fratton Park. Derby go to West Ham this weekend. Cardiff are coming to Portsmouth on Saturday, when the club will pay tribute to Alan Knight, the legendary goalkeeper who passed away earlier this week. Incredible record, 22 years playing for Pompey, 801 appearances, the most for a goalkeeper at a single English club. Right then, this time last week, we were writing off Birmingham and sending Chris Davis down the job centre. Since then, they've won at Wrexham and drawn at home to Southampton, probably what motivated them. Sam, you saw this one. I noticed there were 29 shots at goal in the match, only 8 on target, which might say something about why they both only scored once. What else can you tell me?
Well, I can tell you that Birmingham are improving, absolutely, and thoroughly warranted their point, maybe even all three. Southampton didn't play well, and they would have been, I think, frustrated, the supporters, because of the display. And I think the staff would have been relieved to be leaving Birmingham with the share of the spoils. Stansfield had two massive opportunities in the first half, which he spurned. Larin had one as well at the opposite end, the two kind of main marksmen, if you like. But Birmingham, yeah, on chances alone, didn't deserve to be behind. Schlotterbeck is a name we're going to be talking about. quite a lot. He's the older brother, I think, of the lad who's at, help me out here, Dortmund or Bayern?
Yeah. I think it was Dortmund.
We'll get Kevin Hatchard on.
Where's Brassel when you need him?
But interesting. I mean, I should know that, shouldn't I? But
Borussia Dortmund, the centre back primarily. Yeah, him and there in the German national team. Known for his build up play, aerial ability, speed, strength, and aggressive tackling. Is that the guy?
So it could be describing his brother. Yeah, not my sweet spot, but he's got a lovely left foot, Schlotterbeck, and he was arguably Southampton's best player, scored the goal. However, he made two howling errors despite all that. One, Stansfield nicked the ball off him on the halfway line, went 1v1, hits the base of the post, and in the second half, I can't remember, he missed the opportunity, but a carbon copy, just trying to play out and got dispossessed. But he's got really nice range of passing, kind of through the lines, punches it into the midfield players and the front men, really aggressive despite not being towering. So he's had a really eventful start to life at Southampton, because it was his deflection that gave Millwall the lead off him at the weekend in that handsome victory over the Lions. What else did I learn here? That Prisca is really improving. He is playing with loads of endeavour, with aggression. He looks like the summer breaks really benefited him. I know he had some good games at the tail end of last season, but that's his first league goal. He scored at Swansea in the Cup. He scored a really nice header from a Patrick Roberts dribble down the right. And Roberts was the other pick, really, for Birmingham on the night, but only lasted about 70 minutes, if memory serves, much to the frustration of the Birmingham supporters. It was Gray who came on, Damari Gray, and I think there's a time when maybe those two and Stansfield could be the three behind the centre forward. He loves going with Vicente. I don't really see it. He's a trier. I think he's one of those wire players that probably gives you quite a lot defensively, but doesn't really light up when he's going towards the opposition's goal. So yeah, Birmingham, a good night for them. I think Chris Davis leaves with, you know, enormous credit from the last two games. Still tough fixtures in the short term to navigate, but I think that pressure has been alleviated on him to a degree. Fullbacks did really well up against Cienza and Fellows. Southampton's pick, probably, of the four players was Matski, that we're calling him now. Not Matsuki from last season, but he's Matski.
Matski.
Now, yeah, that's definitely the word on the street. He was very good off the bench, had a goal disallowed. James Ward-Prowse had a free kick saved. It was like being in Southampton in 2010. Second reference of 2010 so far on today's pod. So not a vintage game, but yeah, my takeaway, Southampton off colour, Birmingham much improved.
Mm, good, because they got Wolves at home on Sunday. So that feels like an important one for Chris Davis. But for both, of course, I'm looking forward to seeing Zach Abbott getting going for Southampton, if he can get a few games for them. Been in Forest Academy for way too long. Elsewhere in the Championship, West Ham got their first win. They beat the aforementioned Wolves 4-2. Sheffield United scored a stoppage time winner against Bolton in a 3-2 thriller. And Stoke got their first league victory of the campaign, 1-0 against Norwich, who we maybe shouldn't have tipped for promotion because it hasn't gone brilliantly so far. Into League One, where Leicester got their first win of the season, 2-0 against Plymouth. Cambridge with 2-1 victors at Bradford, who've lost back-to-back games all of a sudden. But that was not the story of midweek in League One, Adrian. It was Leighton Orient and Bromley, who I would generously describe as being porous over the last week or so.
Just a bit. I mean, Bromley have forgotten how to be Bromley, haven't they? Which is just bizarre, because they were so solid. You know, they're a team that give very little away, yet they got tonked 7 at Sheffield Wednesday, and then they lost here at home to Leighton Orient 5-0. Brilliant night for Leighton Orient. Really, really impressive performance. I think it was a physical game, particularly early on, and they had to sort of earn the right. It was one of those ones. But by the end of the game, they'd broken Bromley. You know, they had 11 shots on target. Bromley only had 2. Lots coming from the right-hand side. Charlie Welland is playing out on the right at the minute. Like many teams at the moment, it seems like it's really in vogue with the 3 at the back, 3-4-2-1. Everyone seems to be doing it. Welland's, I think, made 6 chances in the game. Dimitri Mitchell made 4. He's the sort of left-sided 10. But the star of the show was the right-sided number 10, Yusuf Akamrich. Really good. Really good performance. He's 20. He's on loan from Spurs. He did play pretty well for Bristol Rovers last season. I think he got 6 during the loan spell there. But he seems to have come on really a little bit. And Yeah, he's got that little bit. I don't want to say Elise, because I'm just thinking about Elise when he was at Reading. Okay, you just looked at him and you thought, in that right-sided role, something's going to happen when he gets it on his left foot. That's true. That we all thought that. No one would have predicted what he's gone on to achieve. But every time a Cambridge gets it onto his left foot, something seems to happen. And yeah, he was brilliant in this game. He had 7 shots. He scored 2 goals. One was a beautiful curler from outside the box. The other one was one where he sort of took up a position on the penalty spot. The ball comes in from the left and he sweeps it home one touch into the far corner. And it was an absolutely identical goal to the one he scored against Bolton earlier on this season. So, you know, that to me tells me he's a really trusting his technique, because when the ball comes across you like that, it's not easy to sweep it across your body into the far corner, but he did it. So yeah, good player. He's got 3 and 4 now. He's a Moroccan under 23 international. Looks like Richie Williams might have unearthed a little bit of a gem. So yeah, well played, Orient. Yeah, Bromley a week to forget. I mean, yeah, I wouldn't have wanted to have been on their training ground like today or tomorrow like with Andy Woodman. I don't know what they're going to be doing, but I'm pretty sure it won't be fun.
Yeah, big game for them this weekend. AFC Wimbledon, who are struggling a bit themselves and were well beaten at Burton on Wednesday night. There were also wins for Barnsley, Luton, Wigan getting their first victory of the season in Reading, thrashing Mansfield by 5-0. The standout for us in League Two, Sam, was Salford finally getting a win. Newport had done okay at the start of the season. When you score from inside your own half, you probably think that's going to be the story of the game, as Harrison Biggins did. But then Salford scored twice late on to finally get a victory for their latest new manager.
Yeah, an amazing goal for Biggins. Newport has been a really good player for them over the last 12 months, but over 30 shots, Salford. So maybe this has been coming, but one courtesy of 2 unbelievable goals as well going in at the other end. Taylor Allen was prone to do this when he was at Walsall, mainly from the left side of a back three. Slightly different role for him here at Salford, but he bent in a beauty. And Kelly and Mai, a substitute, scores a far post volley, another really well taken strike to get them up and running. And it still has the look of a kind of League One, League Two all-stars Salford, especially yeah. When the final day of the window, they can go and get Dan Scar and Nathan Asimwe, who are going to add even more quality. But some of the names I'm looking at here, Ameson, who was brilliant for Wigan, Wiridu, Joe Powell, set piece specialist for Rotherham, on the bench, George Grant and Mai, Udo not getting a game at the moment. And I'm leaving these two till last, but arguably the signings of the summer window in Luke Molyneux, who's been one of the standout players in League Two, League One, for many a year now at Doncaster Rovers, and the signing of Macaulay Langstaff led us included to believe he would be the leading marksman probably in the division. He's not up and running yet, and neither's Molyneux. So these two goals add to just one goal from a centre-half, Aluwu, on opening day at Barnet. So much needed. It felt like they got what they deserved here. And the first win for Klamowski. And it makes me feel, just if Carl Robinson had these players at his disposal, would he have had an unbelievable chance of not having to navigate the playoffs this year and doing the automatic promotion? We'll never know what went on between Carl Robinson and the owners in between playoff final defeat and the new season, unless I bump into him in prep. I just think Carl Robinson's a good manager. He does wear his heart on his sleeve, but I think with that group of players, he'd have had a much better opportunity of getting that automatic promotion under his belt.
Yeah, that sacking was an overreaction. It was a no-show in the final. Yeah, they were poor, weren't they? But yeah, that was one of the harshest that I've seen. And yeah, I feel for him, really. But yeah, so it doesn't look like they've upgraded, does it, in terms of the manager?
I bet he'll be back there for a second spell at some point. Probably not by Saturday when they host Port Vale in one of the early kickoffs. Newport go to Northampton. I'm glad we mentioned that goal, though. Important to Biggins him up, he said, just saying that so I can make it the title of the episode. Clarkie stat trick. Let's go through that for this week. Our new red-hot feature.
Yeah, the pundits are loving it, aren't they? Yeah, all sorts of feedback. So yeah, stat trick this week. I'll start with a question for you boys. Which team do you think in the Championship has had the most possession and sent in the most crosses so far this season? Who do you reckon?
In the Championship?
Yeah.
Got the table in front of me. Most possession, most crosses.
See, I would have thought maybe Swansea for most possession, but then not most crosses. So I'm going to say Bristol City.
It's going to be a curveball, isn't it? So I think it's a bit redundant me saying Middlesbrough, but I'll just go for them.
Yeah, it's Cardiff City. Cardiff City have averaged 65.5% of possession. They've put in 93 crosses, which is 18 more than anybody else. Ollie Tanner has been especially prolific, Bagan and Willock as well. So, yeah, look, Cardiff mixed bag in terms of results, but they've got a clear identity at least. Into League One, it's not similar, but the top seven players for the most successful open play passes all belong to two clubs. So there's seven players that have all had the most passes in the division so far. Let's play the game again. Who do you think those players belong to? It's only two teams.
In League One.
Yeah.
Orient and Cambridge.
I don't know where you've come from there.
Just looked at the table and picked two teams.
Go on, who has a lot of the ball?
Leicester.
Yeah.
And Huddersfield.
No, it's Leicester and Stockport. At five of the seven are Stockport players, which staggered me. Owen O'Connell, Ollie Norwood, Ethan Pye, Kyron Gordon and Lewis Bate. For Leicester, it's Souter, who's had the most in the division, and Luke Thomas. So, two teams that love the ball more than anybody else. Last one in League Two, Bristol Rovers. They've racked up 90 shots in four games, which I think you'd agree is pretty incredible. It's 19 more than the next closest team, which on the back of those 30 the other night, Salford City. Again, in terms of the top 20 for individual players for the most shots this season, Bristol Rovers have five in that top 20. Shaq Ford, Cavane the striker, Tommy Lee, Bobby Camara and Clinton Mola. So, they're quite fun at the moment, Bristol Rovers. They're going for it. They're going for the juggler against everybody and they're getting some pretty good results as well. So, there's your stat trick.
And I reckon they scored with almost their first shot of the season after being completely dominated for 45 minutes on opening day. So that's 3.5 games, which they've done that in.
Yeah, fair. Yeah.
Not quite Trumpy there, Clarkie, but a nice little addendum to this week's stat trick. All right, next today, for the final time in 2026, hopefully, we're going to talk about transfers. Right, Adrian. Let me tell us who you think had a good transfer window now that it is closed.
Yeah, look, there's a few that had good ones, a few that had not so good ones, but I'm not going to talk too long. I've picked out a winner because, and the winner for me is almost based on what they've done before in previous windows, which is not loads. And that's Bristol City. I've been critical of them in the past where they've shown a lack of ambition. They've got themselves into some really good positions, particularly ahead of the January window. And then they've sort of stood still. But this summer, I think they've done really well. Marcus Cubala's obviously come in. I think that's an appointment that ultimately will probably be okay. I mean, every manager usually fails in the end and that's why they lose their job. But I do think he's a good manager. But yeah, they've signed some really good players. Sam Tickle, the goalie from Wigan. He's been talked about for years and years as this sort of the best young goalie outside the Premier League, maybe. And they got him. Sam Greenwood, I think, is an astute one. Obviously, he was in Leeds first team not long ago. Been playing overseas. They got him. Jed Wallace is one sort of to watch. But it's up front, isn't it? Lauren Talai from Plymouth. He's got a pretty good start. Excellent player. Don Ballard scored some good goals already, the former Leyton Orient striker. Rio Cardines is on loan from Palace. He's creating chances for fun. I think he's got the most assists in the Championship already. And then you've got Elijah Adebayo, who we talked about before, big unit. He'll offer something different up front. And then the last one they got in, Brian de Keersmacher from Oxford. Always thought he was probably one of Oxford's top performers, you know, in central midfield, likes a shot, good set piece taker. So when all is said and done, I think they've improved the depth of their squad massively. They're not all starters, but you look now at the team and the bench and you think, actually, manager's got something to work with. So well done, Bristol City.
I think despite us being neutrals, there's probably an element of frustration there as well, Clarkie, that every year they threaten, don't they? Yeah, and then they fall away, and we think, oh, you know, what a great addition they'll be to the Premier League.
It's a Premier League club in waiting, isn't it?
I'm boring the listeners.
We tried this out, but it's the biggest city not to have a Premier League club ever.
And I'm sorry for being repetitive, and I'm boring the listeners, and I'm sorry to Swindon fans, because obviously they are one of their rivals, you know, below Oxford. But yeah, people would love if Bristol City were in the Premier League. Great city to visit. Great stadium, easy journey. You know, people would really enjoy it and embrace it. And everything's been in place apart from the team having enough wow factor. Mm. And I'm a little bit old school as well. And I'm a bit, disappointed that it took me 3 years to get my big move, because people like Talai and Ballard, if we score goals at any level now, you are off. You get plucked, because I think there's the danger of teams missing out and it you looking foolish further down the line. So I'm really pleased that those two lads, to contradict myself, but I'm really pleased those two boys have gone. Tickle, I thought, was unbelievable when I've seen him in the flesh. So he's another one. There's three signings. Adebayo's a bit different because he's had a bit of a lull in terms of his productivity in his career, but he could be a really nice plan B for him. So I completely agree with Clarkey, so much so I'd sat down with 2 minutes to spare before we went on and recorded today and scribbled some notes down on Bristol City, only to see that Clarkey was going to talk about him. So I thoroughly concur.
Yeah, well, thanks for butting in and adding your two pennies worth. Excellent work. In League One, Sheffield Wednesday, obviously they've signed about a million players, but a lot of them are looking really good. Callum Slattery from Motherwell looks particularly astute on a free. Louis Barry, clearly you know what you're getting with him. I think he could be a great player there. Billy Mitchell in midfield is top. Bursto up front. You've got Al Hamadi that Sam talked about before. And Jaden Heskey, you know, in the academy sort of setups, he's been talked about for quite a while. Emil's son, Jaden, he's gone there on loan. There's lots of really, really interesting signings. So well done, Sheffield Wednesday. They're looking good. And I would pick out Bristol Rovers again. I'm going to go to, so Bristol as a city, I think, has had a decent window. I'm looking at some of the players that they brought in, you know, Purrington from Cambridge, Tommy Lee, I always thought did pretty well for Bradford when I saw him. Tom James, ex-Orient, very consistent. Kamwa from Newport is a good player. He was one of their best players for sure. There are others as well that I could mention. So yeah, look, Steve Evans, there's an old school manager. He knows the sort of players that he wants, and he's identified them and gone and got them. So yeah, I do think Bristol Rovers are in for a pretty good season.
Looks that way. Early signs are promising. Anybody else, Sam, that you'd care to mention?
Yeah, well, I didn't mention SA going back to Millwall on a season-long loan. So that will certainly help them fill that void if the two wide players are going to be sidelined for any longer. Great signing. They've obviously sold him and Aziz for big money. So to get SA back for the season is very encouraging business for Millwall. I really enjoyed the ex-reveal of Oliver Skipp to Charlton. So he's getting a mention because of that. That was a tradesman in the offices at Charlton waiting for a Skipp to be delivered. It was very, very good. If you haven't seen that one. And I suppose just the one that threw me a little bit, and I was on the game the other day and they pictured Liam Miller in the stands at St Andrews. And listen, I'm not saying that's not a great club, Birmingham, which it is, we know, and they could very well be in the top eight this season, but he scored in the Premier League on Saturday, the poor lad. So a penny for his thoughts.
Has that ever happened before? Well, you score a winner in a Premier League game and then the next weekend you're playing in the Championship.
Do you think there was a list maybe done prior to kickoff of the season that Ryan Giles was on and Liam Miller was on that were surplus to requirements? And obviously there was talk of Giles going to Burnley until he starred in that Man United game, and then Miller's done exactly the same against Coventry in the subsequent one. So yeah, it's not great for the individual involved, but he's just gonna have to knuckle down now and try and get another Championship team promoted. So into League One, they were my Championship picks. Clarkey spoke of Bromley earlier. How have they been able to get Jody Jones?
Yeah.
And that's no disrespect meant to Bromley, because the story's amazing and they are going only forward as a football club. But the guy absolutely ripped up the playoff final. He was the best player by a country mile. So, and he's only 28. And I know years ago he had terrible injury issues, but he was thriving last season. So I'm just thinking that a League One club with a bigger budget, with the aspirations of being in the promotion shake-up, I'm really surprised that he's ended up going to Bromley. One other I missed, sorry, but he's League Two to Championship. Nkeng, the young lad from AFC Wimbledon to Charlton. Jacko loved him, so said he had incredible amounts of potential. Scored a few goals last season, mainly coming off the bench. So interesting pickup from Charlton, and keep an eye on his career. League Two, an old favourite of mine, Danny Rose. Remember him?
Yeah.
Barrow to Exeter.
He can jump, Danny Rose. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's replacing pretty much the best header of a ball for someone under 6 foot I've ever seen outside of Les Ferdinand in Jaden Wareham, who's gone to Wickham. If that one passed everyone by. So maybe not the move I was anticipating for Wareham. Again, no disrespect to Wickham, but I thought he may go to a bigger club, potentially maybe even Championship. But I think Danny Rose down to Exeter in profile, very similar to Wareham. Not particularly big, really good in the air, great experience. He'll add a little bit of guile to their front line. And League Two, Jay Williams as well from Crawley, if you remember, the midfield general in their promotion team to Colchester United. And I saw Harry McCurdy, the great Harry McCurdy.
The great, yeah.
Social media suggests that having Jay Williams and Jack Payne in a League Two midfield is a cheat code. So we'll see how those two go.
Cheat code up there with .com in terms of quite dated references, but still, I don't mind it. All right, the transfer window is closed now. I'm sure we'll talk about it before it reopens again at some point. But next today, we're going to have a look ahead to some of the weekend's games. Now then, in the Championship, Imps and Saints on the bank of the Sinsel. No, it's not a Timu Lord of the Rings remake, but a Championship football match. Lincoln versus Southampton, if you're a City name kind of person. Lincoln are the team who we're going to focus more on here, because we've already mentioned Southampton. 0-0 draw against Blackburn on Tuesday. Back-to-back clean sheets after a win at Bolton. It's got to be slow and steady progress, I guess, Clarkie, hasn't it? I know that they'd signed Chidozie Ogbeni, who, if they can get him fit, which I guess is a pretty big if, might be a useful player for them.
Definitely a useful player, because he can play in different positions for a start, can't he? He's very versatile. He can play up front, he can play on the wing, he could be a wing back. So, yeah, like, it's just a shame what happened, because he was flying before he got the injury. And yeah, he's one of the quickest players out there. So, and Lincoln are about pace, aren't they? They sort of need a bit of pace to get from one end of the pitch to the other, because they do have to do quite a lot of defending, and they probably will at home to Southampton. I think we know the pattern of the game. Southampton will have most of the ball here, and Lincoln will sort of sit in, not necessarily deliberately or even on the edge of their own box, but they'll sort of set up without the ball to be hard to break down, hard to beat, and play on those turnovers where they try to use pace to get up the pitch. I feel for them, because they've lost Dariqua to injury for the whole season, and that is a real hammer blow, because he was great last year. And I saw him at Borough on the opening day, and he was terrific. I do like El Arewe at the back, though, who come in, I think, from Bromley. He's really good. There's loads to like about Lincoln, but in terms of the tactics and the shape and all that stuff, but and the identity, you just think they're a bit limited at this level in terms of talent, in terms of players that can just produce a bit of magic to go and win you a game. And that's the issue. They've got to be efficient. They've got to really take their chances, because they're not going to have bundles. They've only actually had 9 shots on target in 4 games. Pretty low. Well, it's the lowest, along with Stoke City. So, I think a point would be a good result here for Lincoln if they can contain the Saints.
Yeah, I noticed that the new centre forward, who I believe is 6'8" at Lincoln, he was pictured in the stand that day that I was there, the opening day against Pompey.
Yeah.
Mikel Ladefoged, 6'8". So is there a place for him in the side alongside Freddie Draper? Schlotterbeck, who I spoke of earlier, is not even 6 foot, I would suggest. So that would be one to keep an eye on. And I know that they like to play with those wide guys, you know, Ben House, a bit of a hybrid, and Hackett on the opposite side, and make really direct runs in behind the centre forward. So I'll be interested how they shape up. And, you know, on the face of it, I think for the Southampton travelling fans, 4 points would be a terrific week. And they'll be expecting to win that. And that's the way it's going to be this season. Teams with bigger budgets, with better resources, will be going to Lincoln and expecting to win. but Lincoln are a really tough outfit. Again, I said it a few weeks ago, that first goal, I think imperative, especially against a side like Southampton, who I think can drain you of any life if they get in charge of the football. And they actually moved it okay at times the other day. They kind of beat Birmingham's press quite a lot with one of the midfield players dropping in alongside the two centre half. So it'll be a contrasting styles that we see at the weekend. But I give Lincoln, you know, a really good chance. I probably expected them to beat Blackburn the other day. So when the 0-0 come in, I was a little bit taken aback. I thought they'd get their maiden first victory at home then. So a tough game for Southampton, and we'll see what he does with the side, with the option of obviously Ward-Prowse maybe coming in for, I would suggest, Cameron Bragg, who's obviously the youngster who's part of that midfield two at the moment.
All right. Well, speaking of Braggs, local pride, not as important as points, but still people like to have something to Cameron Bragg about, don't they? Wigan and Stockport dueling over such rights this weekend. Contrasting fortunes for them in midweek. Wigan picking up a victory from the much needed category. Stockport losing at Luton. Lots of Wigan fans, or particularly one who went viral over the weekend, Clarky, moaning about the lack of transfer business. I note that they got Joe Whitworth in, who is very much a what the EFL bingo card guy, isn't he, Gary? Caldwell knows him from Exeter. And they signed Maynor Figueroa's son on loan from Liverpool, which is a lovely bit of business. K-Roll, I've seen him a few times in the under-21 league. They got Reggie Walsh from Chelsea as well, who's getting rave reviews. Do you think that they've stocked up enough to make it back-to-back victories?
They could, yeah. I mean, it'd be a hard game because Stockport are a decent team, aren't they? But yeah, if you can beat MK Dons at home, I think you can give Stockport a game, certainly. Figueroa's son, it didn't seem like he was that
it's depressing, isn't it?
It's unbelievable. Look, two teams that will go with that 3-4-2-1, that shape that I was talking about, is very much in vogue. So they could cancel one another out here. Both want the ball, which isn't always the case, you know, in these kind of matchups. You know, both high possession teams that want to pop the ball around, use that back three to sort of play through the thirds. And do you know what? Wigan were bottom, weren't they, before they beat MK Dons? And I think that was a bit of a harsh one. I think that they were better than that across their first few games. The stats tell you that they've created loads of chances that I think they're third highest on expected goals, which more than Stockport, yet Stockport got nearly double the amount of goals as Wigan. So maybe they were in a false position Yeah, I think they'll certainly be competitive against a Stockport team that didn't play that good at Luton. I know Luton away is a toughie, and they were beaten by... There was a brilliant goal from Callum Marshall, who Sam's been bigging up, and what a hit that was, into the top bin. But yeah, Stockport had loads of the ball in that game. It just didn't really do much with it. It didn't create a big chance. Still, new manager at Stockport, obviously, but... a similar shape, mostly the same players. One new face is from Ireland, the League of Ireland, a guy called Harry Wood. To keep your eye on him, he scored quite a lot of goals for Shelbourne earlier this summer, because they play in the summer. So he's made the quick switch, didn't need really much of a pre-season, and he's done all right. He scored a couple in that win against Wickham. So yeah, keep your eye on him and Jack Diamond, playing behind Carl Wootton, who it's been decided is a striker after all and not a centre-back, because obviously if you cast your mind back to the end of last season, it was needs must, and he was in the back three, not anymore.
I'm surprised what you said, sorry Matt, about Wigan's transfer dealings. I thought it was quite interesting. They've gone like very youthful. You're right, it's a bit getting the band back together in terms of players he's had previously. Gary Caldwell, Akil Higgins, Loney, I think he's a permanent actually, from West Brom he had previously. Luke Harris, who went off early in that game against MK Dons. Again, he had him previously. And Whitworth, I thought, was a pretty good goalkeeper for here at Exeter. So I think that's a good pickup. Reggie Walsh, these are all young guys.
Well, I think that's the accusation, that a lot of it's been done on the cheap.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Yeah, or it's the model, isn't it? Probably to go for lads with sell on value or young guys from the Premier League. We spoke about Reggie Walsh maybe on last week's podcast. The average age is brought up by Max Power and Morgan Frox considerably. And I watched the highlights from last night. I mean, they're three unbelievable finishes. I mean, the shot count and the pressure that they had told, obviously, because I think they were better than MK Dons. But Jensen Weir scores an unbelievable first. Max Power volleys one in. And then the third from Jensen Weir is a cracking finish as well, went off the post. So they will hope that that's the catalyst to better results in the weeks ahead. But yeah, I think a really challenging game against a Stockport team that are really strong. Had Norwood's free kick skimmed the inside of the post rather than crashing it. yesterday at Kenilworth Road, it could have been a different outcome because they were the better team in the first half. And just one final line, Sidibe, who I tipped up for the top goal scorer, easy for me to say, at the start of the season, 10 weeks on the sidelines. I think he's been missing since the start of the season, so he's going to be playing catch-up, unfortunately. But as Clarkie mentioned, in Wood, in Wootton, in Diamond, Mandron, who's got 2-2 prior to the defeat at Luton, I think they're pretty well stocked in comparison to some others.
Well, if it goes to the form book, then Stockport will win because they've gone win, lose so far. In their league fixtures, they could do with a result here as well because they've got Leicester and Sheffield Wednesday to come afterwards. In League Two, Swindon against Colchester probably tickles Sam's fancy. Swindon looking for a third straight home win after seeing off Port Vale in midweek. We might not have been right about Macaulay Langstaff so far, Sam, but it looks like the Drinnen shout might come good. 2-3 for him.
Yeah, could have had a hat-trick against Port Vale. Before the break, there was one where the keeper was out the way, actually, and it was square to him, and he hit one of the defenders on the line. But, yeah, what he gives you as well is tireless work, you know, Drinnen. The goals have only started to flow regularly, really, across the last, what, two seasons or so for him. He was someone who did so much work outside the 18-yard box, so I think that work ethic is still prevalent, but he's getting the goals as well. And there's a really experienced spine at Swindon, from goalkeeper all the way to centre forward Tafazoli, Ollie Clark, and a strike pairing of Drinnen and Ollie Palmer. Doesn't get wiser than that across the EFL. Couple of young lads shining in that game. Anthony Munda from Newcastle on loan, only 19 years of age. And this is a really interesting story developing in Wiltshire. I'm not too across it, so apologies if I get any details incorrect. But Louis Millard is a young lad they signed from Melksham Town. He's a winger, really pacey, wants to play on the shoulder, get in behind, scored his first goal, brilliant chip. He's already been called up for Kenya. And I think, unless I was dreaming, Benny McCarthy is the manager that has called him up for the first time. So he's gone from non-league football to now featuring in, I think, 4 of the 5 games so far for Swindon's first team, and already got an international call-up. So there's an interesting balance of the squad. Not all is rosy. They have been picking up a lot of injuries, muscle injuries, a la Millwall. Kilkenny as well has got a longer-term injury, so much so that last time I was reading up on it, the training ground's basically been abandoned and they're carrying out all kinds of investigations as to what's been going on. They've been training at the county ground in the lead up to the most recent game, and the form's been inconsistent, and I don't think there's any getting away from the fact that it has to be playoffs this year, doesn't it? Minimum requirement, given the way that they capitulated last season. So, yeah, good result in the week, showed that killer edge, killer instinct. And when Colchester come to town, it's always a tough game. And I like quite a bit of their business, and they would be fancied in this household to be in that top eight as well. Top eight? Why am I keep saying top eight?
Mm-hmm.
Top 7.
Top 6. Top 7, yeah. Top 7.
Get there in the end.
Championship top, aren't I? You know what I mean? I'm like, top 8. It's all just that filth in my mind.
Always a tough game when Colchester comes to the county ground. With the exception of the 17th of January 2004, when S Parkin got the Robins on the way to a comfortable 2-0 victory on that day.
Headed over to goalkeeper Aidan something. He's Phil Parkinson's goalkeeping coach. What's his surname?
White.
Got him in the locker?
White. Got subbed off just
was
after
it?
The
oh, no, yeah. I got the wrong geezer. Aidan Davidson I was talking about.
No, headed it over Alan him. White.
Headed it over him and then an empty net. Started smiling, I can recall. Started smiling before I poked it into the net.
Smug Sam, I like it.
Colchester lost for the first time this season in midweek. We mentioned Jack Payne earlier, Clarkie. Mm-hmm. Danny Cowley said that they had bids for him, but he likes playing for Colchester. I think pleased to keep hold of him. An okay start to the season.
Man's a cheat code.
Yeah, he's a cheat code. Yeah, I saw Jack Payne make his debut in as a pro at Southend. I used to watch Southend a lot when I lived down there and did some bits for them. And he was a talented boy. You know, more of a number 10 back then, or someone who can play wide. But yeah, he's a good footballer, definitely. I've sort of watched his career with interest. Yeah, Colchester have been having a bit more of the ball. And if you've got Jack Payne in your midfield, that cheat code midfield that we're talking about with Williams, then you want the ball, don't you? And they're averaging more than they have done in previous years. They haven't been that solid. No one's faced more shots on target than Colchester so far. And they have been a little bit reliant on sort of comebacks, late winners. They got late winners against Oldham and Rochdale. They come from behind, I think, to draw with Accrington. So they've been slow starters, but sort of finding a way. Yeah, they might not be able to come back against the Swindon team if they go behind, because Swindon have got some really good forwards. So yeah, we'll see what happens. The manager, Cowley, changed the shape at halftime, went with a back five in that game at Bristol Rovers. They were getting battered, so he took off one of the centre backs and switched it. So it'd be interesting to see what they do in this game. So yeah, I'd give Swindon a chance of the win here.
Aynan Drinnan, cheatcode.com. Perhaps. Let's move on. Let's go to our predictions, which, again, haven't been going swimmingly. There were some points on the board last week, though. Two for me and two for Adrian. Nothing for Sam, but a moral victory, because you did say that you hope Paul Mullin gets up and running this weekend, and he got a stoppage time winner in Rotherham, Chesterfield, but sadly he predicted it to be 2-1 to Chesterfield. Yeah. Not to Rotherham.
Well, I did hear someone refer to it as the Strikers Union the other day. There's only really a goalkeeper.
No Strikers Union.
It doesn't sound as bad as midfielders union, but yeah, it's
strikers are very selfish creatures. They wouldn't even think about any kind of union.
I sat on the bench for hours wishing that the player playing in my position spurned glorious opportunity.
we're all made the same. We just don't always admit it. Sam's got 4, I got 3, and Matt's back in the game on 2.
Brilliant. Nice and tight. Important one coming up this weekend then. Preston Blackburn to kick us off. Sam, what do you reckon?
Game face on. First point on the board for Preston. They could take all 3, you know. Oh, ain't going to be good, is it?
It's not going to be a good game.
Do you know what? I want the 1-1, but 1-0 Preston. I don't know why I'm doing it. 1-0 Preston. Backs to the wall. Elation. Fists clenched at full time. You know?
Okay. I'll put that down. 0-0, 4 shots on target, 2 red cards, plus 1 of the coaching staff, but not the manager for me. Adrian?
Preston do go 1-0 up. They do. But then this heartache for Heckingbottom and the Deepdale fans late on when a match that stinks of 1-0. It does. This is 1-0. Yeah.
It does. Oh, my God. Reeks.
It's going to be 4-4 now. Reading against Blackpool is the League One game. Reading banging them in the Select Car Leasing Stadium, if it's still called that, on Wednesday night. I'm going to say they're going to find it much tougher in this game, though, and they are going to draw 2-2 with Blackpool. What do you think, Sam?
I mean, that was good. It was mad seeing that result come through, wasn't it? Because Mansfield battered Luton on Sunday. Yeah. I mean, how crazy is the EFL? I mean, you got to back goals here, haven't you? Do you know what? They was on the wrong side of the 3-2 on the opening day against Luton. I'll go 3-2. Marriott at the double again.
I'm liking the specificity here. What do you reckon, Clarkie?
Yeah, both teams have scored for sure. But Reading and Edgett, 2-1.
2-1, okay. And you can have first go at the Sam Parkin derby, Adrian. Here's Exeter against Walsall.
Exeter, Walsall. Yeah, I think Walsall are doing all right, aren't they? I think it's going to be quite a challenging season for Exeter. They'll stay in the league, but I don't think it's going to be a great campaign for them. I give Walsall a good chance of the away win here. Exeter 1, Walsall 2.
Okay. Sam?
Yeah, I agree with Clarkie's sentiment. They played well, Exeter, the other day against Barnet. And I think Walsall's going to be like fascinating because there's a real sea change going on there in terms of the way they're trying to play. But I think Matt Taylor's a good manager, and he will get a tune out of them, I think, and they'll become more competitive as the season goes on. I will go for another 1-1 for Exeter.
I was going to say that, but I've had 2 draws in the previous ones. Let's go with a 0-1 win for the Saddlers in that one. And nearly done for today. Let me remind you one more time of the offer from our partners, Quinbet, though, where you can get 50% back up to £25. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your first day's betting, Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet up to £25, minimum 3 bets. Even if your account's up, you're guaranteed a £5 free bet, provided you place at least one bet of £10 or greater at the minimum odds. T's and C's apply. It's 18+, and for new UK customers only. Visit gambleaware.org for information on responsible gambling. All right, we went with an admin tweet for Tweet of the Week last week, and we're doubling down. This is not the original idea behind this feature, but I thought this one was so great, I just couldn't resist it. We mentioned earlier that Bristol City had signed Brian de Keersmaeker. Well, admin had a bit of a stinker with this, and I've got a lot of sympathy because we all type out footballers' names a lot, and autocorrect can make your life difficult. They first posted, Brian de Kiddiesmaeker is a Robin. Obviously, somebody picked that up. So it was quickly followed by autocorrect was on an absolute mad one there, NGL. To which Tolai Season replied, good recovery though, lads. And admin said, good process. Yeah, it was good. They then put out a proper one saying, Brian de Keersmaeker is a Robin, red circle emoji, deadline day, tick emoji. I mean, I guess it could have been worse, Sam, but it's just good stuff, isn't it?
Couldn't have been a lot worse, could it really? Get locked up for that, admin. Yeah, it's a difficult one to spell at the best of times, isn't it? And he's had a stinker there. I did have to look up, where's it gone? What's the three-letter thing?
I had to NGL.
Look, not going to lie. Not going to lie.
Did you?
I had to look it up. No. Hey, come on, Sam. You're a dinosaur.
there is the odd one that gets thrown up. Do you know what I mean? There's three or four across the last year or two that I've had to Google.
I've not really used it, NGL. But yeah, it's a good one.
You know what I've noticed? I have to type Morgan Rogers a lot. It always autocorrects to Morganatic, which is a legal union between a person of high royal or noble rank and a partner of lower social status. So I'm not sure what autocorrect's thinking there. Aspilicueta would always go to Aspilocusts for me too. So yeah, I've got some sympathy with you there.
Kiddiesmaeker's pretty bad, isn't it? I mean,
I'm really struggling remembering Morgan Rogers' name. That's the state I'm in at the moment. I don't know why. I just am. I just keep having to. I keep second guessing myself. Yeah,
it's because he's not in the EFL anymore.
I'm getting Rogers got a D, or is it Son's D?
I don't know.
D-less.
Maybe he's not one that, you know. Cole Palmer is Cole Palmer, isn't he? So we never forget his Christian name. But maybe Morgan Rogers is more one that we do with the Rogers.
Mm. Okay. Well, Bristol.
No, he's no Solly March.
No. And he's no de Keersmaeker, and Bristol City's admin will never get that wrong again, you suspect, or at least hope for them. All right, that is where we are going to leave things for today. Leave us a nice review, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your pods, all helps us grow the show. We'll be back with another one same time next week. For now, though, it's goodbye.